You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Take heart, friends. Justice was delivered decisively yesterday by voters across this country. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Historic wins in New York City, Virginia, in New Jersey. Those are the marquee events. In California, in Prop 50, voters turning out on this hyper-technocratic ballot initiative. Do Californians want to respond to Donald Trump's cheating? Because apparently their own internal polling told them that he was not doing well. And yesterday's election bore that out. Californians turning up in record numbers for what was basically just a ballot referendum, which usually has like infinitesimally small turnout, overwhelmingly by 28 points. This is unheard of. Greenlighting Prop 50. But that is just the top line, ladies and gentlemen. If you look a little bit under the hood, boy, the numbers are incredible. Every single county in Virginia, every single one of them, even the counties in Virginia that went for Republican candidate Mrs. Earl Sears, even counties that went for the MAGA candidate, every single county moved at least 6 points in favor of Democrats. I mean, that is just, that does not happen. The margins here are where the story is. Jamie's going to stick around with me. You two join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Jamie and I are going to dig into some of these lesser known races that I think are clear canaries in the coal mine for the MAGA movement. But let's get some of the callers involved here. Bailey, you've been so patient. Thank you so much. Bailey's from Stephen Point. Say hello to Jamie. Bailey, and what you got for us this afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. Hi, Jamie. Hope you guys are having a wonderful night. I just had a quick comment because, you know, I was kind of blown away by all the gubernatorial races and just how much everything leaned to the left. And the more and more I look at the Trump administration, the more I realize there's so many parallels to fascist Italy and to Mussolini. You know, you have things like Making America Great Again, which is straight out of Mussolini's book, where he says, make Italy great again. Let's make a great Roman Empire. You have things like Trump's little personal army that he has now kind of coinciding with the black shirts in Italy. So I think a lot of people are waking up to these fascist policies and saying, no, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, I think there was a level of disbelief. Thanks so much, Bailey, from Stephen's Point. I think there was a level of disbelief in what Democrats and others were saying leading up to the 2024 election. Yes. I think people were being, you know, their fear was being exploited. I've said this frequently on this program. I generally look at the causal factors of the 2024 fall outcome as being a correct perception of an existential economic problem in our country. And then that was made worse or exploited by Donald Trump saying, well, you know who you should blame for that? Not the billionaires, not me, not people who dodge taxes or don't pay any taxes at all while we tax your wages earned from actual work at a higher level. Don't blame the people that actually have always had the levers of power in government. Blame the people who have never held the levers of power in government. Blame the people who have never held the vast majority of wealth in this country, or even a significant proportion of the wealth in this country. Blame the immigrant, blame the woman, blame the gay person, blame black and brown folks. As a rational concept, that doesn't make any sense. But when people are afraid and you put a clear box around blame these people, our brains want to relieve the fear. And I think that's absolutely part of what happened. And so people didn't want to believe the warnings that were coming from Kamala Harris or Dick Cheney or Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or reams of Republican appointed federal judges that said, this is a problem. or John Brennan or all of these. They just said, I'm afraid. And this guy's telling me he's going to solve the problem. And he played on our subconscious biases that have been part of the fabric of our culture here in the United States since its inception.
But don't you think that's been part of, to me, that's been part of the playbook that the GOP has tried to lean on for quite some time? They want to play into those biases. They want to try to divide the country in a way that they feel is going to benefit them. It's a very much us against you mentality that they've tried to play out. And I don't see it.
But the trick, Jamie, I'll just say this, is that they convinced people, meaning yes, the MAGA movement and the billionaires that were funding the MAGA movement and the oil industry and big pharma and right.
Mm-hmm.
They convinced regular folks that the billionaire and mega corporation class, that regular people are part of the billionaire class or the trust fund baby class, and that having mega corporations pay less tax was somehow in their interest. It was the definition of us and them that made that possible. And I think people are looking around going, oh yeah, he said he cared about me, but look, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful realization. You wonder how far the thread will get pulled. And again, what it means in the upper Midwest for midterms and our upcoming gubernatorial elections.
I think for a lot of people too, in 2024, and I try not to generalize, but I think for a lot of people, the first version of Trump's presidency was something. Let's just put it like that, right? And a lot of the things that he and his administration set out to do ended up falling flat because they didn't understand the rules. They weren't able to move things forward because the administration just was not as inept as they are now. The second version, I think, is a lot different. He went out and got the Russell Votes of the world. He has Steve Miller as his right-hand man. He has Bessent. He has the people who actually, even if you don't agree with them, let's be realistic, they have a firmer grasp on how this stuff can just get plowed through versus what the first administration did.
What you're saying is, I think what has been observed writ large, and that is there were people in his first administration that were guardrails and said, you can't do that. And there's no one around
nobody
anymore. So again, I raised this question earlier on the show today, and that is for good faith conservatives and all of the things that conservatism used to stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you too feel betrayed because of the overreach and the cruelty and the casualness of throwing away as disposable tens of millions of working class Americans? He has betrayed traditional conservatism.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about that. And I talked, if you missed a little earlier in the show, I have tried and true John McCain type conservative friends who were out campaigning and organizing and helping volunteer for Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. And there was a true party amongst those people last night because of the fact that they put in this work and they saw somebody, even though the political party, the D, the R, doesn't necessarily line up with who they are or what their party stands for, the values are the same. And that was that I think is what people can align on. I mean, I feel like we might be getting to a point where, I've always been proud of being able to register my registration for voting and all of that. But I feel like there is a point in time where sometimes I'm like, yeah, independents kind of have it right, you know? And that's not something that I would have said at one point in time. Nothing against independents. I love,
on that just to say this, right? Like, I have always identified myself as sort of a radical pragmatist. Right?
Sure.
And at the same time, a Democrat, and especially where the entire political spectrum has been shoved so far right, if it makes me, quote, left to say, I don't believe that masked groups of roving mobs should be able to pluck citizens and non-citizens alike without a determination of probable cause and throw them, I don't know where, send them to a third. If that makes me, quote, left,
Yeah.
Then I guess, you know, in pieces and parts, when we start talking about economic policy and the failure of absolutely the MAGA movement, but to a lesser extent, Democrats, mm-hmm. but yet still Democrats failing to accurately define where we need to go to make this economy work again for middle class and working people and dentists and small business owners and lawyers and everybody, the 90% of us. To me, that's where some of the, is it independent? Is it centrism? What are we defining? But whether people are independent or centrist or left, we can all say this approach is not working. Let's go to the phones. Want to get a few more in. Michelle from Milwaukee. Say hello to Jamie. Thank you for joining us. What you got this afternoon?
Well, hello, you guys. I just wanted to say, you know, when Trump said today that the Democrats had their great wins because he wasn't on the ballot, I'm sorry, but he was on the ballot. And that's why the margins were what they were. I believe if he was actually on the ballot, the margins would have been even higher for the Democratic win.
Mm.
Yeah. So, Maggie, if I can go off topic for just a minute. I know you don't like that. But I just want to talk to everyone who is listening right now. Maggie Dawn doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She personally helped me with some personal things on her own time. And it just made me believe in mankind a little bit more. I called a couple days ago with my story, and Maggie took interest. And whether you believe in her politics or you agree or disagree with what she says, Maggie Dawn is a good person who stands behind what she says. And Maggie, I just want to say to you, thank you very, very much.
I didn't even realize that was Michelle. Thank you. You are welcome, Michelle. I didn't realize that was you. Thank you for sharing. You didn't need to do that. Let's just take this moment to say this to everybody out there. There is something that each and every one of us can do every single day to make other people's lives better, whether it's connecting Michelle with resources to help her feel confident that she's going to have the food that she needs, or whether it's letting somebody go first in a grocery line or helping someone or whatever it is. I think, again, the mandate to Democrats was not specifically about a partisan mandate. I'm going to call that a kindness mandate. I'm going to call that a respectfulness mandate. I'm going to call that a call to community sort of mandate, that it is not us and them. It is all of us. Michelle matters just like you matter. We all matter. And we're not going to leave anybody behind in this country. If we are truly the greatest democracy that history has ever seen, then let's freaking act like it. Let's show up for one another, and let's demand that our elected officials are showing up for all of us, not just those who happen to punch the ballot for them. We're going to take a breath. We're going to go back to the phones. 855-752-4842. God bless you, Michelle. You matter. We all matter. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Kathy from Cambridge up next, but we lost you, Kathy. Give us a call back. You can join us as well. Everybody listening at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the election results from yesterday. They were incredible, huge wins. But let's dig in to some of these lesser known races. The first thing, first order of business is I wanted to take just a wee bit of sound from Governor Newsom, whom I think has made a pretty compelling case for his candidacy for president of the United States in 2028. Let's listen to Gavin Newsom talk about the huge win in California on Prop 50, again, by a nearly 28-point margin. That wasn't even close. Take a listen to this.
Well, good evening, everybody. And let me underscore, it's been a good evening for everybody, not just the Democratic Party. But what a night for the Democratic Party, a party that is in its ascendancy, a party that's on its toes, no longer on its heels, from coast to coast, sea to shining sea. Other states with the remarkable leaders that have been doing remarkable things meet this moment head on as well, to recognize what we're up against in 2026. And let me make this crystal clear. We can de facto end Donald Trump's presidency as we know it the minute Speaker Jeffries gets sworn in as Speaker of the House of Representatives. It is all on the line, a bright line in 2026.
Pretty compelling, yes. If you've ever been motivated to get involved or not motivated to get involved, maybe you found a catalyst here. By the way, Jamie, I think it's really interesting. Haven't heard a peep on our text line from any of our MAGA supporting listeners.
Not today. They've been quiet today.
Very quiet. Let's get in one of our callers before we drill down a wee bit. Kathy, thank you for your patience. Kathy from Cambridge. Say hello to Jamie. What you got for us?
Hi, Jamie. I just heard something on Tom Hartman earlier when people were talking, and I agreed that, one of the reasons the mudslinging didn't work this time, the Republicans' usual campaign on just, trying to make the other guys look bad, didn't work because all of a sudden, trans and gay rights and male chauvinists, they when this stuff's hitting their pocketbook, all of a sudden it wasn't as important when they're seeing struggling just like the rest of us. So I think that's another bright side to why it's going to be a blue wave in 26. This with petty stuff's not going to cut it.
Yeah, I think, Kathy, you're right on. We've been talking about, I think the Democrats were laser focused on economic messaging, creating fair opportunities for working people, creating and making sure that the policies that are enacted into legislation in this country reflect what the vast majority of us think should be happening. We've had a disconnect. And as much as people might emotionally want to lean into MAGA movement or anti-wokeism or for whatever set of reasons, the reality is when you step back from that, as Kathy was saying, and you look at what policies the MAGA movement gets done and what policies impact people directly, yeah. It's the economy, stupid, right? You invoked James Carville from years ago, Jamie. And Donald Trump ran on, yep, all of that culture war stuff was there. But what he ran on was, your eggs are too expensive and I'm the only one that can fix it. And he hasn't fixed it. He's made it worse. And he's demonstrating with the Gilded Age Gatsby party and in every freaking moment that he doesn't care about any of these people. He only cares about him and his billionaire bro buddies. That is it. Let's get in Troy from Mount Horeb before we run out of time this segment. Hey, Troy from Mount Horeb. Say hello to Jamie. Thank you for your patience. What you got for us this afternoon?
Hello to you both. What a great night it was last night. Did you see the utter and complete racism on Twitter when Mamdani won with the 9/11 stuff? And how horrible that was.
Yeah, when backed into a corner, what does a feral animal do? It lashes out.
Right.
MAGA, right? That feral sort of, xenophobic, whatever ism you want to use. Trump has capitalized on that. That's part of his base. We talked about Nick Fuentes yesterday and the anti-Semitism problems. But that is part of it, right?
Yep. And I don't say this to bring people down, but I say this because they show themselves every time something like this happens. Mamdani won, so now we're going to show ourselves. This is who we are. And people need to remember that.
Yeah, Troy, what I want, I don't care what a candidate's color, gender, religion is. What I want are leaders that are there in a humble way to do what is what will work for the vast majority of us, and to try to break the bonds of servitude between elected officials and mega corporations and billion-dollar donors. The Supreme Court has created that. We've talked about the Montana plan here for states to take action to redefine what corporations have rights to do or the power to do in their states, and to eliminate the power of corporations, which are incorporated on a state-by-state basis, to spend on elections. We have to take our democracy back. Yesterday was an incredible step in that direction. Jamie and I are, I promise you, now this next time, we're going to get to these lesser known races and talk about some of these incredible statistics. Nobody else is talking about this stuff like we will. Stick around. Those lesser known races and their import for you and your family. That's coming up next. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, rounding out the last half hour of today's Winning Wednesday landslide for Dems victory celebration. You want to give us your thoughts on the election outcomes, lessons, takeaways. What should we be doing in Wisconsin? We got big elections coming up, Supreme Court in the spring, of course, then midterms in the fall, and the governor's race in 2026. What does it all mean? What do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But Jamie, let's talk about some of these lower profile elections. There was one I have to call out to start with because she is a friend of mine and I'm so very, very proud of her. The city of Albany, the seat of state government in New York State, the city of Albany has elected its first Black female mayor in a quite decisive victory. Her name is Dorsey Appleries. I'm so happy for you, Dorsey. I met her through Milwaukee County Board Chairman Marcelia Nicholson. She is amazing. She has a vision and she's normal, right? She has worked for a living. No trust fund for Ms. Dorsey. Big, big, big congratulations to you, Dorsey. Let's listen to a wee bit of her victory speech last night.
Tonight we made history. Tonight we made history. And as I've said many, many times before in the campaign trail, home is always worth fighting for, and we're going to fight like hell for Albany. It is imperative that we have a more equitable city. Every resident deserves my undivided attention, integrity, and commitment to hard work and investment. And you have just that, Albany.
Right. It's family. I'm going to work hard for you. Like, just basically returning to character and integrity as things that must be prerequisites for elected officials. And Dorsey has all of those things in spades, as well as a work ethic that is unparalleled. So congratulations to Ms. Dorsey Appleries, the newest mayor-elect of Albany, New York, making history. Herstory. So exciting. So
absolutely exciting. Now, before we jump into some of these lesser known results from yesterday, which, by the way, I'm so excited because this is where I shine in life, Maggie. I have to tell you, you talk about you being a nerd around numbers. When we get into this kind of stuff, oh, I had sheets out today and I was so excited. But I do think it's interesting that as we talk about all of these results from yesterday and the messaging of the Democrats, Mike Johnson today said this: the economy and healthcare are two of the primary issues in the country, clearly, and that's why we're delighted to run on our record. Yikes.
Magical thinking, Mike Johnson. His grasp of reality is tenuous as at best, but his affixing of his lips to Donald Trump's behind is a certitude.
I was like, My goodness. Who wrote that? Did somebody write that for you yesterday? I wasn't sure how that came into the conversation today, but that's what he was touting this morning during his big media blitz.
Daily like dissembling destruction of him. Mike Johnson does so much more harm to the cause every day at that podium than he helped. Folks, does he not remind you a wee bit of Ralphie from A Christmas Story?
It's the glasses.
Like all grown up. It's the glasses. Maybe like
and the perfect hair.
Yeah.
And the perfect hair. I think that's what gets me every single time. Because he does have a good head of hair. I mean, say what you want about the man, but he has a good head of hair. Let's talk about
some of these lower profile elections.
Yes. And I do want to remind everybody before we dive into those, Abigail Spanberger, Virginia's first female governor in the state's history. So that's another notable thing to add on there. And speaking of Virginia, this one was one of those under the radar kind of races. Ghazala Hashmi actually became the first Muslim American woman elected to statewide office anywhere in the country when she was elected last night as Virginia's lieutenant governor. So now you've got two ladies in power there in Virginia, which is pretty darn cool. I'm also very excited about this one, because this one, obviously, when we're talking about all these great females, this went way under the radar. But in Detroit last night, they elected in the city's 324-year history, they just elected their first female mayor with over 75% of the vote. My goodness. Her name is Mary Sheffield. So I think that's going to be something interesting for people to keep an eye on as well.
Go ahead, Mary. That's a callback to 227.
Yes. One of my favorite shows of all time. Oh my gosh, Jack Kay. Come on.
I mean, we've got Jack Kay in it. And if you don't know what we're talking about, until the screen. All right, Mary.
Such a good show. Such a good show.
Not doing Jack Hay any justice here. But that was a huge one. The other one that I wanted to point out that, to me, a huge, big deal for female candidates, I mentioned this just in passing, St. Paul, Minneapolis, their first female mayor elected. Her name is Kaholi Herr. She's the first, not female, but first Asian American mayor. She beat incumbent Melvin Carter. And
she worked for him at one point in time, by the way.
And the important thing to note here in Minneapolis and in St. Paul is that they have ranked choice voting and they've been going to these second rounds. We don't know the outcome yet for the Minneapolis mayor's race. They have to go to the process for ranked choice voting. Boy, isn't that exciting? Voters had many options, not just two. I think it's a great exemplar. And in St. Paul, the entirety of city leadership in St. Paul, Minnesota is now all female. Seven of their city council seats are held by women, and now they have their first female mayor. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I'm going to put up a correction there. As of about 2 hours ago, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Mayor Jacob Fry has officially been declared the winner of the Minneapolis mayoral election.
In the second round. So they went to the second. They had to count up how many people had placed him in their second choice because he didn't get to 51% counting exclusively the first choice votes. Again, I think that's worthy to watch. It works, the ranked choice voting approach. And again, it provides people with many options instead of just two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other races that you think were worthy of note, Jamie?
Oh, okay. So this gets very exciting. And I don't want to run out of time because I do want to give us a chance to talk a little bit about what happened in Mississippi. So I'm going to fly through a couple of these other ones. But Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Now, this is an interesting county because it's ground zero for a lot of the anti-immigrant sentiment that we're seeing across the country. Now, in 2012, they went for Obama. And then they strongly swung for Trump in 2016. And this was a county that was the sole Obama-Trump pivot county in the state that actually backed Trump when Biden actually won Pennsylvania in 2020. They flipped their county council to Democratic control last night. It's wow. actually a wild kind of story, right? And then, you know, we like to talk a lot about the local and state races because, you know, as you like to say, those affect your everyday life probably the most. And I guess a lot of people across the country got that message last night because Democrats pulled out victories that are going to reshape communities. They flipped all three of their city council seats in Georgetown, South Carolina. Wow. The unseating of the last remaining Republican city council member took place last night in Orlando, Florida, and they also won back the mayoral races in Connecticut. And then in Maine, Republicans, this is actually something to keep an eye on, especially as we start talking more about VRA, the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
But Republicans, and then, of course, Trump last night talking about major voter reform on Truth Social. But Republicans
means voter suppression, yes. bullying yes. voters, and all sorts of illegal meddling in what should be state-run elections by the federal government.
Of course.
Donald Trump,
right?
OJ and FBI. Sorry, just had to editorialize.
Of course. No, that's okay. It's your show. So in Maine, Republicans backed this ballot measure that was going to impose voter ID requirements and restrict absentee voting. Those two measures would have obviously reduced turnout, as yep. is the result of those things. Democrats obviously oppose that, and it failed miserably as part of this overall national wave. Passage now would have actually helped Democrats who opposed it, and it would have hurt the Republicans who supported it, interestingly enough. But that failed miserably. So in other words, maybe a little bit of a referendum of people saying, don't touch what's already working for us. So I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, I had to save room for Mississippi because I felt like this really, even though the Republicans in Mississippi will still hold major control over the House and Senate, there were some big moves and major waves that were made last night because the Democrats actually broke the supermajority in the Mississippi State Senate. And I know that you've dove into that one handedly. So, I'll let you kind of tell us what the numbers show from that last night.
So the Mississippi State Senate election is notable for three reasons. First, the Democratic candidate won that election, and that had been held by a Republican for a very long time. Secondly, the Democrat won that election by a margin of 71% to 29%. I just want everybody to sit with that for a moment. This was a long-held Republican state Senate seat in Mississippi. So they were voting by margins for Republicans for over the last decade. And the Democrat won 71% to 29%. And the third thing about that election that is so very important is that by flipping that seat, they have broken the Republican supermajority in the Mississippi State Senate for the first time in 13 years. That is a 40-point win margin in a traditionally Republican-held seat to bust up their supermajority. It is huge. I cannot overstate how important that is. I also wanted to call out this very wonky election. There were two seats up in Georgia for its public utility board, a statewide board. They had been held for a long time by Republicans. Democrats flipped both of those seats in Georgia statewide elections last night. Peter Hummard, a Democrat, defeated a guy named Fitz Johnson, who was an incumbent, had been appointed by Governor Brian Kemp. In the other contest, Alicia Johnson, a Democrat and a Black woman, defeated Tim Echols, an incumbent who's been on that board since 2011. When you take these two elections, plus what I think we saw in Prop 50, plus the drifts in every single Virginia county by no less than 6 points to Democrats, these upsets over and over and over again, I can't find an election where a Republican either upset a Democrat or won a race that was a tight call. I can find none, and I was looking for them.
Yeah.
This stuff is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Interesting. We might have a little chitty chat with CJ on the other side because he wants to get in his two cents. And we'll give him a shot. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to hear from one of our conservative callers. I did place a challenge to MAGA supporters. Call me and let's talk about the election. CJ wants to do that. You're not going to want to miss it. Ali from the Northwoods up next as well. You can join us 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Get in while the getting's good. It's the last segment of the day.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're continuing our two-hour-long discussion of these amazing landslide election results all over the place. In almost every election, I've yet to find a single Republican upset or a single Republican that won in a toss-up election. I don't think there were any. That is called a mandate. That is called a landslide. Jamie, you had another specific sort of yes. lesser known race. Tell us about this was in Mississippi as well.
Yeah, it was also in Mississippi. And I thought this one was interesting just because, you know, Mississippi has had to redraw some maps over the course of the last few months. And in House District, State House District, I should say, 22, Democrat Justin Crosby upset the GOP incumbent, Representative John Lancaster. And this was very symbolic simply because this was in that newly drawn majority black district. And so this is what happens when you have fairly drawn maps. And I think these are interesting things to note because, right. as I mentioned, we are in the process of going through watching the Supreme Court with Louisiana versus Calais and potentially seeing a redistricting of maps, depending on how the Supreme Court rules. I think we all have a fairly good idea of how that is going to go. We're going to actually talk about that a little bit more detail on Friday, yep. Here on the show at 5 o'clock. And so it's interesting to see when you have these fairly drawn maps, what actually happens yeah. and how things actually turn out fair for that district. And you're represented by people you choose, not as, you know, we've talked about on the show before, not who the representatives are choosing. Right. And I Absolute, think that's the important thing absolutely. To remember.
One other election outcome of note, Minnesota Democrats maintained their state Senate majority after two elections turned in the same result. So there was a Republican seat that was vacant and a democratically held seat that was vacant in the Minnesota State Senate. Those remained one Republican, one Democrat. So they maintained their Senate majority. CJ, welcome. Big win for Dems yesterday. You wanted to say what?
Thanks for taking my call, Maggie. Well, not really a big surprise. They were all, I believe they were all Sun Prairie, you know, they were supposed districts that should fall into that, you know?
No, I don't know. There were upsets.
Well, they were all blue districts.
All sorts of races. The Virginia gubernatorial election, that they had a Republican governor. So that just flipped. These seats on the Georgia Utility Board, that flipped. The Mississippi State Senator seat just flipped. So, no, I don't know what you – are you saying that there was an expectation that Democrats were going to win these seats?
All pretty blue. Well, I guess I really –
Virginia's not a blue state. It's a purple state, CJ.
What you're going to get is in New York, I hope you give at least – the same 9 months of criticism to Mandami when things fall apart.
I don't live
there.
In New York City. I do live in the United States. Well, so I acknowledge, like, it'll be interesting to see what he can do, but I don't live in New York, CJ. Do you?
Okay. No, I don't. But I'm reacting to the election like you have been. But I would like to respond to some of the misinformation. Can I read something? 2020, 1.4.
No, Jay, unless you tell me what the source is, you can't read anything on the air. What's the source? What's the source? What's the source, CJ? Before you, okay, he won't even listen to me. I think he wanted to talk about inflation. So, again, according to Donald Trump's own Bureau of Labor Statistics, inflation is up 3%. or remains at 3%. Core inflation at 3%. Energy is at 2.8%. Food inflation is at 3.1%. And across all items, inflation is at 3%. That is an increase year over year, by the way. Also, from Donald Trump's own U.S. Department of Agriculture, I will put the link to both of these statistics in our show notes, you know, because actual facts matter. Food prices on almost everything that people buy are up, some by big margins. So I've quoted my sources, CJ. What are your sources? Don't just read me something. Tell me.
20.5 over.
Don't read me something, CJ, until I vet the source. CJ, what's the source?
What do you mean? Who?
Oh, my gosh. It means where are you getting your information from, sir? Not all information is created equally. If it's from some random social media post, I'm not putting that on the air because it's not reliable. Let's get in Ollie from the Northwoods. Ollie, happy Victory Wednesday, winning Wednesday. How are you? Say hello to Jamie. What you got for us?
Hi, Jamie and Maggie. I'm just so proud of the citizens of the United States that they're all pulling together, red and blue. Maybe not everybody, but there are one and two who won't cooperate, but they never will. I noted that even the Democrats defeated Republicans in even in key school board elections.
Yes. Yes.
They defeated them dramatically. Five Democrats on that board now. J.D. Vance's brother lost his bid for a seat somewhere.
Boy, is that nice. Maybe we should start moving away from the family dynasties. Like, enough with the Bushes, enough with the Clintons, enough with the Vances. I don't want to see any Trump kid run. Like, let's return government to regular people who have had regular jobs, who are not millionaires, whether they be Republican or Democrats or independents. I want some regular people who are authentic and know what matters to each and every one of us. CJ, next time, give me your source. We'll talk about it, but I cannot permit unsourced statistics to be read on air. We vet information. You're welcome to send it to me at askmaggie@civicmedia.com. That's going to do it for me, folks. Happy winning Wednesday. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.